Yo, welcome everybody to another special episode, a set piece, FAO for Africans only. We're talking about AFCON, the greatest tournament in the world. Somebody prove me wrong. You can't do it.
Can't do it.
No, not at all. We're the sauciest team in the game, spicy takes in the pitch, we're the banter pub, you know who we are. Tonight, we have Amma in the building, we got Joseph in the building, Raza in the building, and myself, Jonathan. What a couple of great days. AFCON is really, we're living in a tough world. AFCON has made it a lot better. Let's jump right into it. Day three. We got a lot to talk about, but let's start with day three. I'll switch it up. Let's start with the match that we've all been here waiting for. We got a newly found Nigerian in the building to talk about it. It's a Niger party. I feel like seeing some WizKid right now. That's how I feel. Nigeria won. They know my story. What a win. What a game. This AFCON at its finest. How are y'all feeling? How are my resident Nigerians feeling after this win?
Man, I feel great. I feel vindicated. It's, you know, I mentioned before that we came in, fired our coach mere weeks before AFCON started. We got a caretaker, former Super Eagle himself, Augustin Eguavoen, who's leading the troops. We had lots of problems with the call-ups. We had to reshuffle our roster a few times in order to get the, you know, we were missing our at the pointy end. Victor Osimhen specifically, Emmanuel Dennis for Watford. Like, we're missing some people. Even Uncle Jude Diallo is not in the squad. So,
not Uncle.
You know, and here we are. Here we are. Facing Mo Salah in Egypt, everybody says, give him Ballon d'Or, greatest player in the world, blah, 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 blah. They forgot that this was AFCON, baby.
Yeah, you're home now, man.
Yeah.
You're back in the ends, bruv. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't do them things that you were doing in Liverpool, bruv. Not down here. You know what I'm saying? Who was the defender, Amma, that said that he knew how to play Salah and keep him quiet?
So there's two people. I definitely want to shout out Kenneth Amerua, who actually went off injured in that match, and where he's says he's doing better. He plays in the second division in Spain, and I've always thought he was a good center back, but we've always had the other guy, Leon Balogun at whatever. Who plays in Scotland? He's injured right now, so he didn't come up. So Kenneth got his chance, and he showed why. Like, they doubled, they kept. So there's two things. Salah didn't play on the wing like he plays for Liverpool. He was playing central, and we completely stifled the service to him. Whenever he got the ball, he had no time, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful to watch because, you know, I will say that the knock on African teams has been not lack of concentration, you know, blah, 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 defensive frailties, blah, blah, blah. Fam, it's 1-0 everywhere. 0-0, 1-0. Yeah. And you can't say when you have players of the quality of Salah, Mane, Mahrez, Trezeguet, blah, 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 out there, and they're not getting goals, that African football has no defense. I love AFCON, baby. I love AFCON because we're here to disprove all your little stereotypes.
It's locked down. And Salah had that bad gal haircut and everything just to fluff his lines. I'd love to see it. You really love to see it. I want to big up former but still city legend Kelechi Iheanacho. Like, big boss man. He's a big boss now. He's on senior level.
Iheanacho. Yeah. Kelechi Iheanacho, Kelechi Iheanacho, Kelechi Iheanacho. Oh my God, what a goal that fucking
FA is. Cup winner.
Oh, what a hit, son. What an absolute hit, son. Listen, between, and we'll get to Equatorial Guinea and Ivory Coast in a minute, because there was a banger in that match too. But for me, still the goal of the tournament, Kelechi's. I don't understand, like, the technique, the control, the placement, everything was perfect. Absolutely everything about it was perfect. You had to thank God after you score a goal like that. That's exactly what he did. Man was down, you know, pointing to the sky, saying his prayers. That's what you do. You know what I'm saying? That was an absolutely otherworldly hit, and it was more than enough to separate the two sides. It could have been 3-0, to tell you the truth. Simon was all over the place. He was absolutely terrorizing Egyptian back four. He was making them miserable.
Now, he can't cross the ball, but he was looking up.
No, he cannot.
Which just means there's levels. If we continue to improve, we're gonna shake the table. I love it. I didn't have us as a favorite, but on the strength of what I've seen so far, like, I think Ivory Coast had one good half. That was perhaps better than the Nigeria performance, but that's the best performance of the tournament to me. You know, other folks might differ, but Nigeria completely nullifying Egypt and then being the better side and winning, but, you know, knowing that it could have been more, gives me a lot of hope for the rest of the tournament.
Exactly. I have to agree with Amr once again. I said last time we did this, FAO here in the pub, I said that Egypt was still my favorite to win. That has changed. Egypt would need to answer hard in the next match. And I anticipate that they will. But I also anticipate that the rest of the group are perked up. Ears are up. And they saw what happened to Egypt. And they're probably thinking, yeah, we'll have a bit of that as well. So it's going to get juicy.
Fly, Super Eagles, fly.
That's right.
Speaking of North African sides that let us down, I want to talk about Algeria versus Sierra Leone. But I want to welcome Neil into the pub. My fellow African, how you doing, brother? How you doing?
Man like El Capitan.
This is four Africans only. What's going on, brothers? What's going on?
Hey, you know, we ain't nothing but a thing, man. We out here chilling. We out here chilling. But yeah, Algeria, Sierra Leone, it ended 0-0. Man. Kamara, I thought he was a madman, but he was really a bad man. I loved this dude, man. I loved this dude. I think he made like 7 or 8 saves yesterday.
He's seven from, yeah, seven saves, clean sheet.
Man and match.
Algeria. Yep. First match in AFCON since 1996 for this country. Yeah. And on top of that, a clean sheet against the defending champions. I'm sorry, that's G shit all day long, gentlemen. Okay. That's absolute big man tinks. You know what I'm saying? Real shit. Mohamed Kamara deserved everything. And I have to make a special mention to the fact that when they handed him the award and the man was just, he was overflowing with emotion and he put in the performance of a lifetime. 7 saves. And it wasn't just him. It was an utterly brilliant advertisement for defensive football. I know people get bent out of shape talking about, you know, it's turgid, you sit back, park the bus and things of that nature. But that's not what you saw here. This is not Mourinho ball that you saw here. Get me? This is something that you would have seen, like, from the Bayern Leverkusen Champions League winning side that you would have seen. That side got berated by just about everybody else, from the pundits to the fans in Europe, but they won the Champions League and the manager told you lot to suck out because this is the way that we play and it worked. There is no greater pleasure in football than taking on a side that's free scoring and giving them donuts to go home with. Smell me? That is an amazing testament to stamina, endurance, strength, intelligence. You know, intelligence, field positioning, all that sort of stuff to contain all of the weapons, all of them. None of them got a sniff. No magical stuff happening. Sierra Leone, take an absolute bow. Take an absolute bow, especially Mohamed Kamara. What an amazing performance.
I don't get the criticism of being defensive because they were just very composed and compact. And they could have won the match a couple of times if, what's his name from Sierra Leone? Bouya Touré, he fucked up like 2 or 3 great chances. So they could have actually won this shit, but But they were, I mean, they're just like any, they're like any good team. They're compact. They stop the attack, and they had good chances too. So I don't get that criticism. But anything else? Anyone else would say about this match?
I mean, for me, you know, in my limited viewing of it, because thanks to my wonderful cable provider, I don't have cable access to it, so I have to find other means to watch the match. Yes, exactly. It is 100%. And I was, not only was I impressed with Kamara, I was really impressed by how, yet again, another North African side that probably, if we're being honest, if we really want to talk about the African diaspora, another North African country that probably would rather be a part of another part of the world other than the African diaspora, because a lot of those folks in that part of the region of the continent don't feel as like they are African because they don't because they're not as dark. But we can talk about colorism another episode. But yeah, I really appreciated how defensive this was and how I think for the duration of the group stages matches, I don't know how the rest of you feel, but I think this match in particular was a testament to not just how good of a keeper Kamara is. And I think there is a good chance that the January transfer window is wide open. So there's I would not be surprised if a scout from a major or minor club outside of the African continent is considering him, particularly after that performance.
Right, right. I think he'll get a club. He's decent. He's really decent. And like as y'all said, like you see the emotions within them, so it was great. I want to move on to Sudan, Guinea-Bissau. They're in Group D with Nigeria and Egypt. It's likely that they won't go through. Shithouse match. All I want to mention is how Guinea-Bissau's goalkeeper. I want to mention this one moment where Sudan had launched a ball, a deep ball. He outran the ball. The ball went behind him. He then turned around on the sixpence, like matched the forwards' run, boxed them out like a defender, and then fell on the ball. It's like this is total AFCON behavior, and I love every second of it.
Yes, yes. It was the most insane move. I think I don't know. Like this might be the moment of the whole tournament so far, like the non-goal scoring moment where the keeper's like, what the hell is happening? Actually, that's not the crazy moment. That's coming up in day four. But yes, that specific moment, I was like, what are you doing? Just clear the ball, fam. He went out, set a pick, and then fell on the ball in the box. Like he went outside the box instead of booting the ball. And he set a pick he should have been called for a foul for. And then fell on the ball. Like, what are you doing?
And then can we talk about the penalty? Can we talk about that? Can we talk about that?
Be on it. Be on it.
For those that didn't see the match, what happened is, and I can't remember who was that stepped up for Guinea-Bissau to take the penalty. But I know who it was. It was Pele. Pele stepped up to take for the penalty. Also, really quickly, Mohamed Kamara is actually not unattached. He plays for the local side, East End Lions. And now he's a national hero. I had to look it up and I found it because it wasn't on transfer market for some reason. There we are. Anyway, point is, man might be coming Europe still. He's 22 years old. Back to Guinea-Bissau versus Sudan. First of all, that Sudanese goalkeeper deserves roses. So I'm going to go ahead and give it for this. He not only saved the penalty, but the follow-up hit the bar. When he came out to kind of, you know, as a to sweep to kind of snuff it out, he missed that, but the ball hit the bar. The ball comes down, a bit argy-bargy in the box. Then it drops to, I can't remember who's there on the wing, and he's there, a wide-open net, side netting. So they didn't miss the follow-up. So they didn't even miss the follow-up once. They missed it twice, and the goalkeeper made himself a problem in that moment. Like, his teammates mobbed him at the end, and he's, you know, telling him to, you know, thank you, but get focused in a kind of way. But he's roaring, you know what I mean? Line business. And I'm just like, AFCON is the greatest tournament ever. The greatest. Like,
It's great.
You didn't see these type of things in Euro 2020 last year, bro. You didn't see these type of things there. You know
they're
what I mean?
They're too wound up. Like they can't be free like Africans can. That being said, which one of y'all Africans are paying the Zambian referee? Tunisia, Mali, 1-0 to Mali. All
right.
What the hell happened to the referee? Let me make sure what happened. So, 85 minutes, the referee, for some odd reason, blew the full-time whistle. Everybody's looking around like, what the hell happened? Then he decides, okay, oh, I got the time wrong. Let me start the game again. Then he sends off the Malian forward that got into the game, who just got, I think, was subbed into the game. Not a red card offense. Looked at VAR. Clearly not a red card, and still sent him out anyway. And then, 4 minutes later, blew the full-time whistle with 89 minutes left the match. To a point where they ended the game. They came back because they said they had to restart the game. Tunisia said, no, we want to start the full game in full. And Mali was like, hell nah, we were winning and we're not gonna lose this. So Tunisia ended up forfeiting the game. So anyway, which one of your Africans have passed this brown envelope of cash to referee? That's what I want to know.
Probably the spirit of Robert Mugabe, if I'm keeping it a bean.
Well, I mean, I don't understand. I really don't understand what was going on in this guy's, and it's not his only controversial. Like, he's also like a, you know, this guy's been in the World Cup. Like, he's not like a provincial ref. It just shows that, to me, that the Premier League doesn't, you know, hasn't cornered the market on atrocious officiating. Like, but that's why, again, another reason you love AFCON, because it's like, there's always chaos. And this was the most stupefying moment, is after the restart, you know, he calls it with no added time, even though there were a plethora of subs, injuries, VAR checks. And in fact, in this match, there was an actual water break, unlike the artificial breaks that show up in your BN Sports feed. They actually had water breaks as well. And so you had to have added time. And he blows maybe 17, 15 seconds early before 90 minutes. So, yeah, it's beyond brown envelope business, because he comes back and shows a red card to Mali. You know what I mean? So, like, who is he? who paid him? I think it's like maybe Jurgen Klopp or somebody. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Wow. Okay. So, first of all,
that wasn't Africans doing.
You know what I mean? Like, it might have been Carlos Queiroz still. I don't know. Like, you know, we let's just put it. Let's just put it out.
So you're trying to blame this on old whiskey nose on
sideways
manner.
Yeah, this is old beef.
I think it might be.
This beef is aged. You know what I mean? Like, this is going all the way back to the treble and then man there. You know what I'm saying? Like, but for real though, that was atrocious from the official. It was baffling. Like, this is not a mistake that you make on accident unless there's something wrong with you. You know what I mean? And as Arma said, this proves two things. One, just because they're a world-class ref doesn't mean they won't make world-class blunders. And number two, the Premier League definitely hasn't got the market cornered on poor officiating. I think last season in both the MLS and NWSL definitely shows proof of that. You know what I'm saying? But that is more of a... That's less of a let's go ahead and rag on the officials thing. That's more of a these officials are not being paid enough thing, and we'll get to that in a later date. But there's no reason for this match to end 5 minutes early. Knowing that you have to add that, I don't necessarily blame Tunisia for being shithouses and trying to get the match restarted from the beginning because of this mistake, because they were losing. You know what I mean? But if you're going to go ahead and forfeit, That makes sense also. But only if you're a quitter. And that's how I see Tunisia. Tunisia, no spine. No intestinal fortitude. You had 5-10 minutes to overturn the match. And you don't want to take that opportunity? You man are not ruthless enough. Go home. That's how I feel about it. Like, go the fuck home. You forfeit the match and you still have time to turn it around?
Not that
and Marley is a man down. Nah, bruv. Go home. Go North the fuck home.
North Africa really let the side down. Except for Morocco, but that was more so Ghana's doing. As they normally do, as we talked about.
I mean, we said it the other night.
any more thoughts to this match? I like Molly. I think Molly had a great performance too, despite the referee. But
I'll say this. I like Molly because they're one of those African sides that takes their youth level stuff seriously, and you'll see talent bubble up from the lower team. So it's the same way I big up Nigeria and, you know, won the under 17 five times. Mali hasn't won it under 17 World Cup five times. Kelechi Iheanacho, Victor Osimhen have both won like whatever the golden boot, golden ball of that tournament. Anyway, Nigeria side, Mali takes it seriously. They field really good sides in those tournaments, and I always wonder, you know, how many of those players are going to make it to the top level. So I was, you know, they're one of those sleeper teams for me, especially in their group. I think as weak as this, Tunisia should have played for a result because, you know, these are the two strongest sides in that group, and who I would have picked to go 1-2. However, Tunisia still has a shot because, you know, the four best third place teams also get to progress, so they still have a shot for they still have a chance to make it through, and that's pretty much, I guess, my last word on that crazy game.
Exactly. So next one, in the same group, I'll get through this one real quick. Mauritania versus Gambia. It was an AFCON match, pure AFCON match. A feel-good match, really, because Gambia 1-0 victors. First time, I think, ever winning at AFCON, if Joseph, I'm not mistaken. So it's a great feeling. I'm happy for them.
That is correct. Gambia have their first ever AFCON win as a nation, and they celebrated in style in the dressing room. Shout out to that man there that was on the table, bussing shapes, you know what I mean? Absolutely killing it, you know. Pure black things that we were dealing with. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. You know what I mean? Enriching. You know, your soul vibrates when you see these kind of things. So congratulations to them.
I love my Africans. And the last match of the day, I would like to call it Equatorial Guinea, the Dominicans of Africa. And Ivory Coast, my Francophone brothers, land of Drogba, Mr. Conk in the Head Drogba.
Drogba is gone. We got Nicola Pepe, we got Eric Bailly, we got Wilfred Zaha. Like, we got all kinds of characters you're right. Today. We don't even need to throw it back.
Extension. Mr. Extensions, Wilfred Zaha. I forgot about that.
Oh, you want to talk about extensions? Talk about Jorginho.
Jorginho was ridiculous with the
locks. They weren't locks. They were braids. And then he put the little rubber band around his head, too, like, to hold it down. That man has been smooth ball since he was 12 years old.
Not just that, but you could see the traction alopecia just happening. You get me? Like, you know, the hair was pulled so tight. Like, you know, man's forehead looked like an IMAX screen. You understand? Like, it was absolutely outrageous out here. And I thought, but he was balling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was Jorginho, you know.
He was balling out of control, so he let it rock. Anyway.
1-0. 1-0 to Ivory Coast.
Max Gradle with the absolute thunderbolt. Baller. Jesus Christ.
Baller.
Absolutely, yeah. Definitely in with a shout for goal of the tournament, but I still think Iheanacho has the edge personally. But that was an absolute rocket. 5 minutes in as well. You know what I'm saying? Ivory Coast did what needed to be done. And, you know, it was great. It was good to see. You know what I'm saying?
It should have been 1-1 because...
That's what I wanted to say as well, Jonathan.
Aubameyang's evil twin brother missed a great opportunity. My bad, it's the way. I didn't mean to do you like that.
Yikes.
But yikes. Continue.
Yikes. 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 Like, wow, the disrespect. Oh my God. Anyway, the whole thing about that miss was just like, it shouldn't be what people take away from the effort that Equatorial Guinea put into this match. They really should have come away with a point. To be fairly honest with you, aside from that goal, Ivory Coast were looking kind of lackadaisical at times, I think it's fair to say. You know what I mean? Equatorial Guinea could have taken the match by the scruff of the neck, and that was the chance that they could have done so, and they didn't take it. So I hope that they won't drop their heads for the next match. I hope that they'll come bouncing back. But we'll see. You got two more matches to be in the top three. Otherwise, you're going home.
Yeah, I want to big up Equatorial Guinea for being one of the sides bringing a domestic coach to the tournament. You know, I'd like to see more of that on the continent instead of bringing these random ass people who were the kit man at a third division team in, you know, Belarus to come and manage your squad, your national team. Like, time over for that. Let's get our ex-pros badged up and people who know the vibe on the continent to lead our teams into these tournaments. So big up to Equatorial Guinea for at least doing that.
El Capitan?
I mean, obviously, Ivory Coast has several players from across Europe that are playing across Europe from a standpoint of reps internationally. These are players that are really doing a fantastic job for club, and then they get to go to their home country and do the exact same thing. I would not be surprised if Sebastian Haller has while he didn't necessarily have a goal in this match. I foresee several situations with the remaining group stage matches, and then after that, opportunities for him to have goals of the tournament, or at least nominees, for sure.
Yeah, we know you love your boy, Haller, and I'm glad he's showing out. I'll be interested to see what Ivory Coast does, because, yeah, they were a little lackadaisical, but they have great talent, like Haller, for instance.
I think they might be the most stacked team in the tournament. Like, I think on paper, they're probably, from just the individual talent standpoint, you know. But it's AFCON, and you never know how the talent coalesces into a unit.
No logic. No logic, no reason.
Just culture.
Yeah. Culture stands out. Okay, any last words? Any last things folks want to add about day three, day four? But we sign out.
Just that this has been a great tournament so far, and just that it has been amazing to be and a privilege to witness, you know, this stuff. I still want Be In Sports to put more in the budget, because I'm tired of these water breaks when there are no water breaks. You get me? Like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? You know, man pays money for this. You don't know what it is, all right? You got the money. Now put the fucking money into the fucking footage and streaming. Thank you very much. Shit. Can't be that hard to hold a consistent stream no matter where you are in the world. Anyway, say all that, say this. I don't want people to keep ragging on AFCON like it's not important. Like I said earlier today on the Hell site, the joy that you see in these players, the emotion The tears of joy, the roars of triumph, the triumphant, just, you know, celebrations from the fans to the players to the staff, people making a name for themselves and also elevating the game at the same time. That's why AFCON matters. And it doesn't matter if you don't think it matters. It's absolutely inconsequential. No one cares. Not while history is being made and not while people are having a grand old time. Yes, it's a pandemic and we really shouldn't be doing this. But since we're doing it, we're going all in. So I'm here for it. And I can't wait to see what happens next.
Well said. Well said. So thank you all for listening to another special episode. FAO for Africans Only, AFCON Day 3, Day 4. On the Banda Pub, you know who it is. Saucy's team in the game, Spicy's takes on the pitch. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, The Banda Pub FC. Follow us there. You know, Joseph had mentioned it, you know, we got a Discord. We chat shit all the time on Discord. We talk about Equatorial Guinea being the Dominicans of Africa on Discord. So, We'll put a Discord in the notes. We'll put it on Twitter for you to find us, because we got a lot to talk about. AFCON is the tournament to check into, and we want to talk with you about it. So find us on Discord. Subscribe, follow us, review us. Let us know what you think about this episode. For me, Jonathan, El Capitan, Neil, Ama, Joseph, Rosler, take care. See y'all day 5, day 6. And be safe. Be safe. Stay out, gone.